Hey, beloved brethren, this is Brother Juan with episode 4 of Kingdom Talk Podcast. This next message, it's a powerful message. It's a powerful message concerning agape love. So my prayer is that those that have ears to hear will tune in and be blessed, and that this message would resonate in our hearts, and that we will learn to apply this message and the information that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us concerning agape love or the love of Christ. Hey, beloved brethren, FBF. All in the name of Jesus, I pray that you all woke up today feeling fresh, feeling renewed, feeling restored, and feeling the peace of the Lord. This message has been coming for quite some time now, and there's a few of the brethren that asked if I could do a message study on agape love, and this has been coming for a while now. So I mean, I've been praying about this. I've been lifting this up in prayer. So I'm asking the Lord to have His perfect way, and that He'll just give me the words to speak. Can you use me for this purpose, for His glory, and for the benefit of the brethren? I pray that you receive this with an open heart, an open mind, an open spirit, and that this word would resonate in your heart and your spirit. This message would resonate, and that it would do something in you, that it would produce something in you. And if you allow the word of God to become real in your life, it'll transform you. It'll change things. It'll do something in the mind, in your heart. And ultimately, it'll be demonstrated in the words that you speak, because the word of God says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to have His perfect way. I'm going to move out of the way so the Holy Spirit can have His perfect way. So before we begin, as always, you know, we're going to go to the throne room in the name of Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to have His perfect way. And I thank each and every one of you that will tune in now and those that will tune in later. I thank you. I thank the Lord for your faithfulness and for your commitment to the things of God. And know that Brother Juan Agape loves each and every one of you. So let's go to the throne together. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Blessedly, Father, who art in heaven, we humbly come before your throne of grace, Father. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this day, Father God. This beautiful day that you created, that you made for us, Lord. I pray, Father, that myself and the brethren, Father God, those tuning in, Father God, now and later, would rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. Father, I pray that this word will go forth with power and authority in the name of Jesus, and that it would produce something in the hearers, Father God. Father, that it would go forth and perform what it was sent out to do, Lord, and that it would not return. Your word does not return unto us void, but it goes out and it does what it was sent forth to do. I ask, Father God, that you'd open up the hearts and the minds of the hearers, Father God, that they would receive this word, that this word would fall on good ground, that this seed would fall on good ground, and that for some it be seed being watered, and in your timing that you'd bring the increase, but that something would be produced in the hearers, in the hearts and the minds of those that have ears to hear, Father God. I pray, Father God, that it would be comforting to the soul and nourishing to the spirit. I pray that your will be done, Lord. Have your perfect way. In Jesus' mighty and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to do some page flipping. So some of you that have your Bibles handy, I'll take my time not to rush through this so that you can have your Bibles ready. And those that don't have their Bibles available, excuse me, lend your spiritual mind, lend your spiritual ears, and let your heart be open. Amen? Okay. Once again, this message is about agape love. A lot of you ask what agape love is. Agape love is a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's the love of Christ that He demonstrates to all of us. We're going to read some accounts in His word, in the gospel. We're going to read in the gospel of Matthew and some in the gospel of John. The whole word of God points to that kind of love. From the beginning all the way to the end. But it's an instruction that we should live by. It's a standard. Hey, Sister Kimberly, I love you. God bless you. I love you, sister. I agape love you. It's the type of love that He requires of all of His servants, of His children, of those that have been called out from the darkness into the light, His the ones that are saved, for all of us. It's that type of love that He shares with us. This message is deep, man. It moves me in my spirit in a way you don't understand, but it's the standard that we're called to live by. It's that type of love that I try to share with each and every one of you, the ones that I know and the ones that I don't know. It's the type of love that'll go the extra mile. And we're going to read in We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 right now, real quick. Real quick. Those of you that have your Bible ready, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to learn a little bit about that, what that love is. This I've shared these scripture verses before a number of times. But I feel like in order for you to get a better understanding, a perfect understanding, let's let the word speak. Let's let Jesus speak to us through his word. Amen. So those of you that have your Bibles ready, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin in the first verse. The word of God says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Amen. The world's idea of love is distorted, in a nutshell. That word is thrown around so loosely. People say, I love the color purple. Or, you know, I love this shade of lip gloss, females. or I love this dress, or I love this shirt. And so, over the span of time, people have gotten away what the true meaning of that word really is. The image of love that we've been taught doesn't altogether line up with what the Word of God says. So here at the Lord Jesus, we're going to learn about what that type of love really is. And the best example and the only example should be Jesus. His life, everything that he did, was grounded, rooted, and established in love. And those that are called his chosen, the remnant, the anointed of Christ, or in Christ, Christ-like, you should be grounded and perfected and rooted and established in this kind of love. It's heartbreaking to me that since I've been saved, and moreover in the last year, I mentioned that agape love to everyone. And it's sad, it's heartbreaking for me that the majority of the people don't even know what that means. They don't understand what agape love is. So I pray that this word would be a correction, an exhortation, an instruction, and a comfort to us all. Remember, this word is for me first, and then for those that have ears to hear. Amen? The word of God is always for the minister first, or the one giving the word, and then for those who have ears to hear. So I pray that this word falls on open ears, an open mind, and an open heart. Amen? Let's go to the word. And let's begin in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Matthew chapter 4, 23 through 25. Now, I could take a whole bunch of scriptures to teach you about this, but I only chose two of the Gospels, the book of Matthew and the book of John. You can learn about this type of love all throughout the Gospels. You can learn about it in the book of Acts, all through the whole word. But I only chose certain things because I want to point these things out to you. They're examples, but I want you to see the character of Jesus and that type of love that he demonstrates. And we're to demonstrate that same type of love. We're to take up that example and live it out. If we're calling ourselves Christians or the anointed of the anointed of Christ, then this is the guide. This is the principle. This is the thing that should drive us. This is the standard by which we should live by and operate in. Hey, my sister Crystal Branford, I love you. I love you, sister. I agape love you. Praise the Lord. I thank you for you, for your faithfulness, for your encouragement, and for your agape love that you show to me. I appreciate you. All of you. All of you. I agape love you all. Okay, let's go to the word. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, the word of God says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So here we see that the ministry, Jesus' ministry, or our ministry, Jesus moved around all over the countryside. And people from all over the regions heard about him and his fame, or what he was doing, or his popularity spread. And he was performing miraculous signs and wonders everywhere he went. He ministered to people. He laid hands on people. He instructed people. He went to the synagogue and he was teaching and instructing them, but he was also rebuking them. But he did it with love. Now, here's a man that didn't consider danger. He didn't consider what he was going to eat, where he was going to live, what he was going to wear. He went out with the intent to reach the lost, to save the lost, to heal the afflicted and the tormented, to call out demons and set people free. But he was setting a standard. Now, while he's healing and he's teaching people and he's proclaiming truth and freedom to the captives, he's discipling 12 other people, 12 different personalities. And he's caring for them, he's loving for them, he's instructing them, he's comforting them, and he's correcting them. Remember, this is Almighty God, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, clothed in human flesh, walking here on the earth. And these 12 individuals had the opportunity, the blessing, to be instructed, to be led, to be taught, to be empowered, to be equipped by him. But the most important thing, to be loved by him, to be loved by him. And not just them, but everyone that had an encounter with Jesus. Because something special happens when you have an encounter with Jesus. Something powerful happens. There's something that happens. There's the evidence. There's a transformation in the mind and the heart and in the way people speak and the way that they think. And then he brings healing and restoration. And here in the Word of God, it mentions a few things. Listen, epilepsy and those kind of things, people will pass it off and say that they're neurological disorders or something with the mind. But listen, we serve an Almighty God that's able to do above and beyond what we ask, think, or imagine. The master physician, the way maker. These people didn't have all this fancy medication and these fancy doctors back then. And so these people were in desperate need of healing and instruction and restoration. And they had a faith, the faith that they would travel across country, no matter what the cause, but they would go to Jesus because they knew and understand that if they had an encounter with Jesus, that something would take place. Something powerful, something supernatural, something miraculous. Saints, that anointing hasn't changed. That power hasn't changed. Our God has not changed. The times have changed. The mindset of the people have changed. But it's all, everything is the same under the sun. Nothing's new under the sun. It's just a little faster, a little bit different. But the God that we serve is still the same God. And the same standard that he requires of his people is still that very one that they exercised then. See, Jesus set the example. He said, "Lo, I've overcome the world, so can you." He said, "What I do, you can do, and you do even greater things." The thing is, we have to empty ourselves of ourselves. We have to put ourselves to the side. Set our differences to the side. And let the love of Christ reign in us, in our hearts, and in our minds. And be perfected, rooted, grounded, and established in that love. Amen? So here we see that when Jesus came out, the multitudes. And when they say multitudes, we got to think. It wasn't just maybe 20, 30 people. We're talking about maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And Jesus didn't think about how tired he was or the trip that he just traveled or the 12 that he had to deal with. He just knew that his love was greater than all that, and that he had to heal these people and pray for them and lay hands on them and restore them and set them free and love on them, because it's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a selfless love. That love doesn't require the cost or doesn't consider the cost or think what it might set us back, or it doesn't consider anything. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It always hopes, it always trusts, it always believes. It's agape love. Let's go to chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Now, this is the Lord speaking to us. It's not some words that are written down that was spoken for people 2,000 years ago. His word is living and active. It's breathing, it's alive, and it's for us today. And the Word of God says, and Matthew chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. We live in a fallen world, and there's a lot of people out there that need help. And we have the means to help those people. All it requires for us is for us to move ourselves out of the way and let God's perfect love have its way in our lives. If somebody asks you for help, stretch your hand out in the name of Jesus and help them. Because in your moment of despair, in your time of need, you called out to an almighty God, and he answered, and he blessed you, and he delivered you, and he healed you, and he restored you. And Abba didn't consider the cost. He didn't take into account the sins that we've committed. He didn't take into account our wretchedness or the many times that we turned away from him or disobeyed him or tried to run from him. In a moment of our need, he reached out and he helped us. Are we not to do the same? If you call me and you ask me for help, I'm going to run out to you, meet you halfway, make a phone call, take the time. Because if we say that we're in Christ, Christ-like, then this is the type of love that we should demonstrate to one another, regardless whether we know each other, regardless of racial barriers or social differences, anything, nothing. The Word of God says that nor depth nor height will ever separate us from the love of God. It means no matter how high you go, or how high you get, or how low you sink, his love is always going to be with us. He's always going to be with us, no matter what. Even in the moments when we turn away from him, that agape love keeps him right next to us. So that when you turn around and you stretch your hand out and you say, Lord, I can't do this anymore, he's right there. When we read about the prodigal son, we see that the prodigal son was selfish and rude and very disrespectful, because he asked from his father what was required for his children or for his heirs when the father was dead. So here he was saying, just give to me what I got coming to me. And the father loved him that much that he gave it to him. He didn't consider anything, he just gave it to him. And the son took the money and he went out into the world and spent it on reckless living. And it says that he realized where he was at, the state that he was in, because he was in a state of madness. He realized that he was among the pigs. The important part of the message is that when the son came to his senses and he realized where he was, he realized that things were much better at his father's house. And he humbled himself. And he said he made a conscious decision to return back to the father's house. But the point that I want to make is that the father scanned the horizon. He was always waiting on his son. And see, a father knows his children, so you know your kids. You can spot your kids in a crowd. I know I can. And so the father scans the horizon and he sees his son off in a far off distance. And he runs out to him. And he puts his arm around his son. And he holds him. And he tells his servants, put a robe on him. And then he put a signet ring on his finger. And he tells his servants to go ahead and to take the fattest of the calves and to prepare it and to have a feast and to celebrate, because his son was lost, but he returned back. That's agape love. Because the father didn't consider the disrespect. He didn't consider how this young man squandered the inheritance that he had reserved for him for when in his timely death. He didn't consider that. All he knew is that his son returned back to him and he restored him. He loved him. He gave him back his authority. He gave him back his identity. He gave him back the dominion. And he threw a feast for him. The Word of God says that when one person turns away from the world and receives that free gift that's freely given to all in the name of Jesus, that salvation, that free gift, it wasn't free for Jesus, but he makes it free for us. That's agape love. And he makes that free gift given to all. But it says that when one person turns from the world and receives that salvation and receives the Lord, that the angels are rejoicing in heaven. They're throwing a party in heaven. Agape love should be that thing that drives us to tell everybody about this salvation, about this gospel, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. To share about that free gift that's freely given to all. To tell people and testify to them about the healing and the restoration that he's done in our lives, so that they too can be restored, so that they too can be saved, so that they too can be made whole. That agape love that he shares to us should be the thing that drives us to tell everyone, to share that love with everyone, but to love ourselves that way too. Because we have to love ourselves also. But our love and our devotion should be to him. How do we devote ourselves and our love to him? By loving others. Because we've been made all in his image and in his likeness. The sinner and the saint. Because there's no distinction. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love the sinner more than he loves the saint. Because to be perfectly honest with you, he came into the world for the lost. To save the lost, the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, the afflicted, the tormented. The paralytics and the blind and the lame. And the lepers, the cast outs, the ones that society casts to the side, the people of low position, sinners, just like you and me. Amen. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. I shared this a few days ago, but I'll share it again because it's an important illustration. It's an important lesson. Leprosy was a flesh-eating disease. It was highly infectious, and in that time, it was very common. But the lepers were treated horribly. People would spit on them, they would throw things at them, and sometimes even kill them. But they were exiled. They weren't allowed to be in public. And the governing authority at that time, the Jewish authority, even the Roman authority, made it illegal for them to be in public. So they couldn't be out in public among the people because people were afraid to catch this disease. Because like I said, it was a flesh-eating disease. It literally, it ate and deteriorated the flesh right off their bones. But the thing is that they were still alive. It was a nerve disorder also, because the people didn't feel it. They were just dying and rotting, right? And they were still living while it was happening. And so people were terrified of them, so they were the social outcasts. And so here Jesus, the multitudes follow him and they hear about him coming. So they come to him because they know that they can receive something from him. And so here it says that a leper heard that Jesus was coming. Now think about this. A leper heard that Jesus was coming and knew that if he could just get to Jesus, that he could be made well, that he could be restored. He didn't consider what the law said. He didn't consider that he couldn't be out in public. All he knew was that he had to get to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if you are willing, all you have to do is touch me, and I can be made whole. And the agape love that he has for us, for him, he said, I am willing. And he touched him, and immediately the leprosy left him. And he was healed, and he was restored. And he went and testified about what Jesus had done for him. And in some of the other gospels, you'll see that even it says that Jesus even kissed the leper. Agape love, saints. We have to be willing to associate ourselves with people of low position. We can't esteem ourselves greater than others. We have to esteem others greater than ourselves and consider and put the needs of others before our own. We go the extra mile. We always hope. We always trust. We always believe. We don't keep a record of wrongs. We don't say, I forgive you, and then later you bring it up. No, if you let it go. We serve a God that forgave us of all our sins. The blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary, it covered over all our sins. Not just the ones that we committed before we got saved. All of them. And the word of God says the Lord considered it joy. Considering what he endured and what he suffered. He considered it joy because he knew what the outcome would be. Agape love, saints. Let's go a little further. Matthew chapter 9 verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 9 verses 9 through 13. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold the many, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? See, here's their religious spirit, the religious people. Religious people. Don't get it confused. The Lord doesn't call us to have religion. He calls us to have a relationship. There's a big difference. It's not about rituals. It's not about traditions. It's not about these buildings that people go and worship and praise in. Because the word of God says that the Lord said that his followers, his people would not worship on the mountain or in the temple. They'd worship him and praise him in spirit. So here Jesus is rebuking these tax collectors or these religious people because they're condemning him or they're judging him. Well, why are you hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? Understand, the tax collector was not liked by nobody. A tax collector was hired by the Roman government to take the money from the Hebrew people, from the Jewish people. That's how the Roman government was able to have what they had, because they took from the poor. They were the oppressors. But it's not the Romans that were the oppressor. The enemy was the oppressor. Remember, it's not the people. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach them. That the oppressor wasn't the Roman authority, the Roman government. The oppressor was the devil, and that's what he was setting people free from the oppression of the enemy. Because the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against the enemy and his demons. When you study the word of God and you know the word of God, those of you that know Jesus and know the word because the word's implanted in you, you know that there the angels followed Satan. Lucifer, he became Satan when he hit the ground. He was Lucifer when he was in heaven. But he exchanged his nature. He exchanged his identity because he was corrupted, because of his pride, because of his arrogance and his disobedience. Because the Lord requires obedience, not sacrifice. And that word is also going to be mentioned in here. He exchanged his nature. But he had influence in heaven. And he influenced a third of the angels. Now think, if there's millions upon millions of angels in heaven, think about how many came down with him. And then you understand how terrible the world is. But you see, the rule in this world is his rule. The enemy's having his way, and he's running rampant in the earth, destroying, killing, and destroying as much as he can. at will. Because the remnant or the church, not the remnant, the church, they had their time. But they didn't show the agape love to their congregation, the congregation members of the body. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of them that don't even know what that love is. They haven't been taught what it is. They haven't been taught what their identity is. They've been lied to and bamboozled and hornswoggled. And so they walk around with no victory, with no authority, with no power, without an identity, and without no help. Those functions that these men, and or now women, but these men that have been appointed, these that they've been appointed to those assignments, they've taken the things of God and they use it for selfish gain. It's not about the kingdom. It's not about salvation. It's not about reclaiming lost souls or bringing salvation to those lost souls or healing or restoration or reconciliation in the name of Jesus. It's about lining their pockets. It's just curiosity. You don't have to tell me, but I'm just wondering. I'm curious. How many of you out there that actually attend these places, how many of you actually can say that your pastor knows you by name? And that in the time that you were in trouble, he came to you and he prayed on you. He laid hands on you. He prayed for your healing, your restoration, your reconciliation of your marriage or family or whatever. Or came out of his pocket and paid your bills. Or helped you fix your car or walked an extra mile. Or gave of himself instead of taking from you. Because they take. But what do they give? They give a watered down gospel? Or tell you what your itchy ears want to hear? Or they excuse your sin? Or they tell you something that's not together righteous or true? Or they're prideful and arrogant and they don't listen to you or hear your voice? Or they discredit you? Ah, you're not qualified. Nah. Here, why don't you feed the homeless? Or why don't you go out to the food drives? Meanwhile, they sit up on their pulpits and they point their finger down at people. And meanwhile, pass their collection plates around. But what do they give? It's not agape love. Now, I'm not discrediting anybody. I'm not judging or condemning anyone, but I'm speaking facts. Because the world is in the state that it's in, because there's too many people out here that don't know their identity. Because people that know their identity and they know the Lord Jesus, they operate in a certain kind of way. They know their identity. They operate with power and authority because the Spirit of God, they know that the Spirit of God dwells within them and there's power and authority in that Spirit. And they move, they speak, and they operate in that Spirit. But they also are rooted, grounded, and established in love. Agape love. The love of Christ. That sacrificial, unconditional love for everyone. They don't judge. They don't condemn. They don't pass judgment. They love. They don't give up. They don't quit. Brother such and such just don't get it. So I'm going to kick him to the side. No, we keep praying for him and we keep loving him. And we'll go back to him. You don't just discard him and get rid of him. Or make fun of them because they get high or they drink or they cheat on their wives or they gamble or they do things that aren't righteous or you know, lawful. It doesn't give us the right to judge them or condemn them or cast them to the side. No. Instead, we should pray for them because that's what Jesus did. These tax collectors, these sinners, he sat with them and he broke bread with them. He ministered to them and he loved on them. And as a result, they loved him back and they followed him. Because people are used to being treated to, you know, wrongly or kicked to the side. They're used to being disrespected. They're used to being beat on and hurt and talked about and ridiculed. That's what they're used to. But Jesus came in the world that we would have salvation, we'd have life and life everlasting. But he came so that he could demonstrate the love that God has for us in bodily form. And his Spirit abides in us. And if his Spirit abides in us, and because we know him, we should demonstrate that same love to everyone every day. Not when you feel like it, because it's not about us. It stopped being about us the day that we received Jesus. It's about loving other people. It's about reaching out to a fallen world. It's about stretching your hand out and helping those that are in need. And not considering the cost or how it might set you back. But just doing it just because. Not with accepting something or expecting something in return. Just doing it just because. Because when Jesus offered his salvation to us, he didn't expect anything. He didn't do it with expectation. He did it just because. When Abba Father outpours his grace upon us and his mercy each day and we wake up another day and we live another day, he doesn't do it with expecting something in return. This grace is undeserved favor. Or unwarranted merit. It means we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He just gave it just because. Because of that agape love. In verse 12 it says, and then Jesus heard that he said to them. Now he's talking to those religious people. Remember, the religious people just busted in the party. And are now making fun of Jesus or talking down to him and saying, man, why are you hanging out with tax collectors? Why are you hanging out with sinners, Jesus? You should be like us. We don't associate with them. They're sinners. They're condemned. They're unrighteous. They're unclean. And here Jesus says, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In order to have salvation, there has to be repentance. There has to be something that takes place in the heart. And here Jesus was demonstrating the love to these people that are lost, that are fallen, that are sick, that are tormented, that are afflicted. But by loving on them, he was showing them something foreign that they didn't know. Because they were mocked and they were ridiculed and they were condemned. Even by the so-called holy people of that time. How holy were they? They never even reached out to them. They never even loved them. They never poured into them. They never broke bread with them. Instead, they were social outcasts and they made fun of them. And these people became puffed up and arrogant. Isn't that what's happening in the church today? I've been to countless churches. And Brother Juan goes in how Brother Juan looks. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into those churches, man, and they just look at me sideways or look at me funny. They don't even talk to me. They don't shake my hand. They don't say hi or good morning or God bless you, brother. They just ignore you. You're a ghost walking in and out of those places. But the ones that give the most in the collection plate, the ones that come in with the three-piece suit with brother such and such and sister such and such, they're allowed to sit in the front. They'll reserve a special place for them. They'll love them and they'll give them kudos. Oh, we want to thank the brother such and such and sister such and such because they're faithful followers. They're faithful members of this church. It's not a fraternity. It's not a club. And that's what they've turned these churches into. Fraternities and clubs and their cliques. Now, well, we don't jam with them because they don't act like us. They don't believe what we do. No, we don't jam with them because they live a different kind of life than we do. That's not the body of Christ. That's not church. Those are social gathering places. And how dare they put the name of Jesus above it. Or they'll discredit you. Or disqualify you. Because you didn't go to a theological school or some seminary and come out with a piece of paper that says that you're ordained. Those that are called by Jesus have already been ordained. They've been appointed. They're not appointed by man. They're appointed by God. There's a huge difference. And the word of God says you'll know them by their fruits. Keep your eyes open, saints. Don't become religious. Don't adopt that religious spirit, man. Because God's not in that. Jesus is not in that. And that is not the love of Christ, agape love. And these people claim to know the word and they claim to know Jesus, but they don't know. They heard about him, but they don't know him. Because the people that did know him, the people that do know him, they live a different kind of way. They love a different kind of way. They speak a different kind of way. Excuse me. They live their lives a different kind of way. In my life, I've met men and women of God that really have agape love, that really know Jesus. And they blessed me and they went out of their way. And they loved on me. And they didn't consider what I was, what I looked like, what I smelled like, what my life used to be. They just accepted me just because. That's agape love, saints. Let's go to chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 in the same chapter, in the same book. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. Oh, my bad. I think I already read that. I'm sorry. Okay, so let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 13. Hey, Brother Donald, God bless you, brother. I love you, man of God. I agape love you, brother. John chapter 13. This one's kind of long, so, you know, hang out with me. We're almost done. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Thank you, my brother. I agape love you. I agape love you, brother Donald. See, I don't know you, brother, but Jesus knows you. And you know Jesus, and that's enough for me. So if you ever need anything, a prayer, you need anything, brother, reach, stretch your hand out in the name of Jesus, brother, and I got you. Brother Juan got you. I agape love you, bro. I don't have to know you. I don't have to know you, how you live, what you do. I don't need to know that. I know Jesus, and so do you. And that's good enough for me, bro. Okay, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I pray my brother Glenn is somewhere out there watching. Brother, you asked, so I told you I was going to lift up this message today. So I pray that you're out there listening. If you don't listen now, I pray that you'll get this later and that you'll be blessed, bro. I pray that whoever's listening, whoever's watching now and those that will watch later, I pray that this word will minister to you, that this message minister to you, but that it do something in you and produce something in you, that it'll light a fire in you. Because now's the time for the remnant to rise up. Now's the time for the real children of God to rise up and open their mouths and demonstrate that agape love to everyone without partiality. Because Jesus didn't show partiality when he reached out to me and saved me. And I didn't deserve it. I didn't have it coming. But in his infinite wisdom and his love for me, he saved me and he rescued me. And he did you too. Those of you that know him. So let's come together in agreement. And let's share that same agape love with everybody because there's too many out there that don't know what that is. They don't know what it is because it hasn't been demonstrated in their life. There's people that speak the word of God, but they don't live it. They ain't mastered by it. They can quote scripture a mile a minute, but they don't know how to live by it or be mastered by it. See, the thing is that the Word of God has to master you. It has to perfect you. It has to refine you and define you. We should be defined by what His Word says, His instruction. We should be defined by His Spirit that dwells within us. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." I'm going to stop right there because I need us to be conscious of this thing. So this is the Passover feast. Jesus knows who His betrayer is. He knows what's going to happen. He's already been on the mountainside praying, and He's going to pray some more. But He already knows what's going to happen. And His flesh is crying out because death is not normal. But He took our place on the cross and He died in our place so that we could live. And so He knows what's going to happen. He knows He's going to be betrayed by one of his own. Now think about this for a second, saints. These were 12 people that He chose. He chose specifically. He chose Judas. He knew what Judas was. He knew what Judas would do because He's God. He's all knowing. He didn't show partiality. He loved them just the same. He knew that he was a thief and He gave him the money. That's agape love. Now considering all these things, knowing all these things, He says that He loved them even to the end. Because while He was on the cross hanging and He was dying slowly, and they were mocking Him and spitting on Him and ridiculing Him, making fun of Him, telling Him, "Hey, you called yourself the Son of God. Jump off the cross. Save yourself, Jesus." And then meanwhile, the Roman guards were sitting there gambling among themselves who was going to get His garments and who was going to get this and that from Him. And then on top of that, you had the two thieves that were on each side. The one was sitting there talking crazy to Jesus, and the other one was rebuking the other one, saying, "Man, we're guilty. He's innocent." And even in that moment, He cried out to Jesus and He said, "Remember me when you leave this place." And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." He was still ministering. He was still interceding. He was still loving to the end, but He was resurrected. And we serve a living God, a resurrected King that outpours His love on us no matter what we do. And He doesn't consider the things that we do. He doesn't hold it against us. He continues to love us. He always hopes. He always, His love perseveres, man. It conquers all things. Agape love, saints. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them from the towel from which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Now listen, He already knew what was going to happen to Him. He was looking at the betrayer right in His eyes, and He took His garments off. He took His clothes off, and He took the form of a servant, because that position was reserved for a slave or a servant. A person of low position would come and wash the feet of the people. And here, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai, took the form of a servant and washed the feet of sinners saved by grace, even His betrayer. Agape love, saints. That's agape love. Some of you out there don't know what that is, but you know what? It's not far from you. If you're in Christ or Christ-like, you know that love and have been perfected, grounded, rooted, and established in it. Now live it. Walk it out. Let it perfect you. Be mastered by it. Share it with everybody, to the world. You don't have to be big and elaborate or sound a trumpet. It could be something simple like a handshake, a hug, touching somebody on the shoulder, saying Jesus loves you, God bless you, any number of things, even just a smile, man. Because a gesture goes a long way. A kind gesture goes a long way. And a kind word goes even further. Share with the world what the Lord has done for you. And those of you out there, there's many of you out there that have a powerful testimony and have been delivered and have been healed and have been set free and brought out of some horrible things. You know the love of Christ. Share that love with everybody. Tell them about what the Lord has done for you and that they too can be set free, that they too can be healed, that they too can be delivered, because guess what? He is able and He's willing. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God, a resurrected King, who's able to bear with our infirmities and was tempted in every way and was without sin. The Word of God says, because He knows what we go through. Why? Because he clothed himself in human flesh, and he suffered and he lived like one of us, so he knows what we go through. He knows how we're tempted, but he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And there's people out there that will love on you, and they'll pray for you. They'll stand in a gap for you. They'll lay hands on you and pray for you for healing, for restoration, and reconciliation. There's people that will lead you to Christ. There's people that will share his word and not water it down or sugarcoat it. There's people out there that really do have the Spirit of God and are perfected by that agape love. Just keep your eyes open and pray. The Lord will bring them to you. And those of you out there that know people like that, love on them. Stay close to them. Because the Spirit of the living God abides in them, and they're led by that Spirit. And they're grounded, they're rooted, and they're established in that agape love. You ought to follow that same example. And have greater victory. Have greater authority. And be blessed. Be blessed beyond measure. We don't do it for the blessings. Brother Juan don't do what he does for the blessings. I do it for the love of Christ. Because he loved me first. And he saved me. And he rescued me. And he restored me. And he healed me. He heals me. It's not a one-shot deal. He continues to restore us. He continues to heal us. He continues to pour out his love in us. He continues to grow us up and build us up and bless us and move things and prepare things for us. His blessings don't end. It's not the way that we bless. Sometimes we bless people and that's a one-shot deal. That's it. Nah, brother, I helped you one time already. I can't do it no more. That's not agape love, and that's not the type of blessings that we get from God. That's not the type of love that he demonstrates to us, because his gifts keep on giving. They keep giving. Those of you out there that are thoroughly equipped and you're blessed beyond measure, be a blessing to other people, saints. Be a blessing to other people. And it doesn't have to be monetary things or financial or material things. That's not what I'm saying. Give of yourself, give of your time, give of your life. Go the extra mile. Don't judge and condemn people, man. Don't hold bitterness in your heart or unforgiveness, man. Forgive them and love them. They're lost. They don't know Jesus. But we do. And those of you that have fallen away and backslid and make your way back to the Father's house, he's waiting for you. It's time. It's time for us to come together as a family, as a body, and move and advance the kingdom and push back the darkness and reclaim from the enemy what he's stolen. I'm not coming at you with the fervency that I normally have today, because I'm moved and I'm stirred in my spirit in a way you don't understand. And I move with compassion because I know the Lord, because he knows me. I want to lift up this. I want to say something real quick. Those of you, you know who you are. One person in specific, in particular. I need to ask you to forgive me. Because I could have been a better Jesus in your life. But one thing is for certain. My love never changed. I continue to love you. And I continue to pray for you. And I pray nothing but good things for you in your life. And for the kids. Rise above your circumstances. And aim for the moon. And shoot for the stars. Aim for the moon. Set the bar high. There's a God in heaven that knows you by your name. And he has a calling on your life. And you're a beautiful person inside and out. I pray that you'll forgive me and you don't have anything against me. Don't hold any bitterness in your heart. If you do, set yourself free. Set yourself free. God has great things for you. And not just you, but everybody out there. If I ever hurt you or I offended you or I said anything to bruise you or harm you, forgive me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I fall short. But I don't stay in that mess. And I'll keep pushing and I'll keep pressing and I'll keep striving. And I'll keep advancing. And I'll keep telling people about the love of Christ. And I'll keep letting God use me for his glory. Not for the glory of Brother Juan. All for the glory of God. Because Abba Father's not going to share his glory with no man. We don't deserve it and I don't want none of it. Because it doesn't belong to me. I'm blessed to be a small part of this thing. The body of Christ and the kingdom of God is huge, saints. Get yourself involved. Get yourself connected. Take your rightful place in it. There's a place at the table for you. If there's anything in your heart that you know that ain't right, man, get rid of it. Ask the Lord to surrender it and give it to the Lord. Take up your cross and follow him. If those of you need healing and you need restoration, he's the way maker. He's the master physician. He's the healer. All you have to do is go to him. He's right there waiting. I can testify. I love you all. I agape love you all. And I pray that in the Lord's timing, he'll make the way for me to be able to get out to some of you. And if those of you that really need my help or you need anything, all you have to do is reach out to me. I got you. I got you. I don't have all the answers. Jesus has the answers. But his spirit abides in me. And his love, that agape love, is the standard that I live by. And he's perfected me in it. Not that I've already attained it. But I strive for it every day. I'm being perfected in it. So can you. I agape love you all, saints. Peace.